today on Real Radio.
2 years, it felt like, in fact, I invented a phrase for me. My spirituality, it felt like I was licking a rock. Have you ever licked a rock? Think about that. That's what my life felt like.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. You know, suicide is a passionate, sensitive, and profoundly painful subject for a lot of people. It draws us towards emotional answers, but what exactly does the Bible say about suicide? From the very beginning, John 8:44 calls Satan a murderer and a liar. No human is exempt from his subtle temptation to think thoughts of death or suicide. There are many examples of this in the Bible, but God's Word also gives us hope. Listen now as Pastor Jack encourages us to meditate on God's Word and let the peace of God rule our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Suicide is a subtle lie. When I say subtle, listen, when I say subtle, I mean subtle. The Bible tells us when Satan came to Eve, he was subtle in the personage of a serpent. Now, I don't know. We weren't there. Maybe we'll know someday. I don't get it. I hate snakes. I'll kill a snake if I see it. I will kill it. Don't show me your snake. I'll kill it. Here's the thing. For some reason, Eve thought it was okay to talk to a snake. Apparently, Adam and Eve talked to animals, like Dr. Doolittle, I guess, you know? And it's a freaky thing when you read the Bible carefully. The snake came up to Adam and Eve, or to Eve anyway, and it must have walked. Freaky, because the curse that God curses the snake with is that from this time on, you will crawl on the earth all the days of your life. Isn't that weird? I mean, what did it look like? I don't want to know. If I were Adam, I'd have walked up there with a shotgun and blown it up. But the Bible says it was subtle. Satan was subtle through the snake. He possessed it, and he's talking through it. So, what has God said about what you can and cannot eat or touch that tree? And he puts doubt in her mind so carefully. And then he tells her, it's okay. Have you noticed this? Listen up. Young people, again, listen up. But for all of us, Satan will say things like this, and it doesn't even sound like Satan. I'm sure if it sounded like Satan, we'd run like crazy people out of there, right? He doesn't go, I got your head now. Oh, I'm going to rip you off. He doesn't do that. He comes and he speaks in our mind, in our voice, in our head. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. And he says, you know what? If I do this, who's going to know? And if, you know what? And if I do, and if I get in trouble, God will forgive me. So why not? And then you do it. And then the thought comes in your mind, and you know it's him. You blew it. You are condemned to hell forever because you shall not steal, and you took that bubble gum and you stuck it on your tricycle, and you're going to burn in hell forever. He puts that in people's minds from the earliest. He encourages you to do it, and then when you do it, what does he do? He condemns you. Some of you are saying, I've heard Satan speak to me. Because you recognize that logic and train of thought. But he'll use your voice. He's so subtle. It's amazing. Satan misquoted Psalm 91 to Jesus. If Satan knows how to lay one on Jesus, he uses the word of God in quoting Psalm 91, but he misquotes it. Did you know that? When Jesus was at the pinnacle of the temple being tempted by Satan, Satan says, hey, doesn't the Bible tell you that the Lord will take care of you, and if you dash your foot against a stone, he'll lift you up, and all that. And he quotes the 91st Psalm, but he leaves out a couple of key words. Satan leaves out that the Lord will take care of you in all your ways, implying that the Messiah was to not obey himself, but to obey the will of God. And Satan left that part out, trying to take advantage of Jesus' humanity to see if he could get him to trip up. And Jesus counters by declaring, I'm going to do the will of God, the will of my Father. If Satan thinks he can beat Jesus using the Bible, don't you think Satan thinks he can beat you using the Bible? Well, I think, and we'll talk more of this on Sunday, by the way, I think Satan loves to get people filled with head knowledge in theology. And you can be doctrinally perfect in this church. You can be a doctrinally perfect theologian. Just pristine orthodoxy and never make it to heaven. You have to do what you believe. You can answer all the questions on the test, but if you're not doing it, if it's not in your heart, it's not real. It's only theoretical. And there'll be no theories in heaven. There'll be no theoretical theologians passing through the gates. Only those who do the will of the Father. Listen, Satan is subtle. How do we counter these subtle lies? Write these down. These are good things. These are good things. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Are you depressed? Set the Lord before you. Physically do that. What do you mean physically? Get up and say, Lord, pray, talk to him. Stand up. Do that. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What is he talking about? He's saying as a minister of the gospel of God and preaching the word of God, Paul said, I get beat up, I get discouraged, I get alone at night. None other than Satan himself talks me into some pit of despair. I'm constantly kicked around. I'm left for dead. I'm a mess in this world, so to speak, because I can't find a home, as it were. And you know what? No. You know what? In the midst of all this stuff, even in my scars, Paul would say, this, I would much gladly rejoice in being associated with Christ than having ease in this world. And I want to say that those of you who are under an attack of suicidal thoughts, and the encouraging side, I mean it this way, doesn't mean Satan's got a hold of you. Some of you could have serious chemical problems, bipolar issues. Those are things that happen. We live in a fallen world, and you need to get that looked into by a doctor. You need to do that. But then, listen, that's not always the case. There are those on the other side. I don't have bipolar and all that stuff, but let me tell you, man, there's times when I just feel so, I don't know, there's no explanation. Dark, like there's a dark cloud hanging over your life. And you check your pulse, right? You check your Bible reading, your devotional time. You go through the checklist. Yeah, I'm doing everything right. God, what's the problem? You ever feel like that? Am I confessing stuff that you don't know about? Are you a Christian tonight? And this weight seems to descend upon your life and you can't explain it. I remember when this church was about 5 years old. I remember without any reason. Now I know. Now I'm rejoiced because it was just God preparing me. But I felt the dark cloud come upon my life and I didn't feel that God answered my prayers or could hear them. He did, but I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel all the stuff that you want. I didn't feel loved by God. I didn't feel listened to by God. I didn't feel anointed by God. I didn't feel useful. And I was doing then exactly what I do now. For 2 years, it felt like the heavens were brass. And I remember just saying, Lord, okay, If this is the way it's going to be, I am not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing this. If this is the way that it is, then this is the way that it is. I'm not going anywhere. I know you're not going anywhere. And so we'll just ride this thing out together because there's no sin in my life. Okay, so here's the deal. And 2 years, it felt like, in fact, I invented a phrase for me. My spirituality, it felt like I was licking a rock. Have you ever licked a rock? Think about that. That's what my life felt like. And yet, you know what? During that time, in the 90s, our church at that time was the fastest growing Calvary Chapel in California at the time. And I couldn't see any of it. I didn't see any of it. I was so, so heavily burdened. And now on the other side of it, I see that God could only bless the church the way that he was as long as he beat the tar out of me and keep me in that place so he alone would get the glory. Okay, you understand that? Listen, God, why are you saying this? Because you may be in the pit of despair like Jeremiah, right on the cusp of a great move of God in your life. He might want to do tremendous things with you, but you will either choose to listen to you preach to you, or you will listen to God preach to you. You must choose, and I'm encouraging you to choose life because he loves you. We're still on thirdly, the truth. Number four, suicide is a hidden trap. Somebody will say, I just want to end it all. I just want to end it. What makes you think that that's ending it? You're a body, soul, and spirit, my friend. Suicide does not end it. It's not an out. See, it's a satanic lie. Take a look at the screen. This is hard to believe. The suicide forest. Did you know about this? I did not know about this. Desperate Japanese head to suicide forest. Did you know that there's a forest in Japan that overlooks Mount Fuji that Japanese, depressed, they go to and they kill themselves? There are signs warning them in English and Japanese, don't do it. And they still do it. They go there to die. One reporter from CNN went and found 47 bodies laying out in the forest, dead. Suicide Forest, which is a historic association with demonic activity in Japanese mythology, is a popular place for suicides. In 2002, 78 bodies were found lying about, despite numerous warning signs in Japanese and English urging people to reconsider their actions. Due to the wind-blocking density of the trees and an absence of any wildlife, that's interesting. Ugh. The forest is known for being unnaturally quiet. Demonic world traffics in darkness and depression and death. Isn't it interesting that Matthew 27:3, Judas hung himself after being deceived by his own ambition and satanic influence. The Bible says in Matthew that Satan had entered into Judas. According to the Bible, listen, suicide is not, according to the Bible, suicide is not what sends a person to hell. Some of you who have had an upbringing in another religion said, no, we were told, you can be totally saved and go into heaven, but if you commit suicide, you're going to go to hell. Hear me loud and clear. Jesus Christ died for all manner of sin, the Bible says. He died for all sin. Is suicide a sin? Yes. Somebody will say, what? But you can't repent of it, and so because you killed yourself, it's a sin. You can't repent, so that sends you to hell. That's not what the Bible says. Hey, listen to this. At Costa Mesa, we knew of a Christian man who was a great Christian man. He started acting strange. He was kind of goofy for about a year. Then he started every once in a while cussing. And what is with him? He's backslidden. That guy's walking off the planet, man. That guy's gotten goofball. Then he started to get really very impulsive and angry. 2.5 years later, he's dead. They performed an autopsy on the guy. He had a massive brain tumor that was affecting all those areas of his life. So what happened to that guy? Did he go to hell? By the way, you know how he died? Suicide. Oh no, poor guy. Oh, he's in hell. He had a brain tumor that caused him to go crazy. So how's your theology bear up under that? Is your God bigger than that? Yeah. My God is. A Christian can be so oppressed and suppressed by influences, including demonic influences, that they could commit suicide, a tremendous act of disobedience. It's a sin. And I'm sure in eternity in heaven, they'll suffer loss, regarding their rewards. I'm assuming that. But it's wrong. And if you're a Christian tonight, you have no authority to do that. What happens if Joe non-believer commits suicide? Honestly, you simply hasten, you expedite your entrance into hell. You get there sooner than what God had planned. Imagine that. You cut yourself off from hope, from ever coming to Christ. Man. How do you counter this trap? Answer, fellowship. Hi, excuse me. Hi, welcome. God bless you. Merry Christmas. See you later. Take care. Okay. See ya. Right. Bye. Okay. Hi, how are you? How are you? God bless you. I feel like I'm handing out stuff at the airport or something, you know? Do it now, from now on. All of you, start doing that. You see somebody you don't know? Hey, hi, how are you? Merry Christmas. God bless you. What's your name? People are going to go, I can't take that church anymore. Hey, I'd rather get in trouble for being like that than being some snobby place, you know? Counter the trap by fellowship. Get to know people. Get to know people. The Bible warns us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. They stopped going to church. But exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Did you know this? Listen, you know, every day we get closer to the return of Jesus, we should hang out more with Christians and one another. Number five, and we'll have to end with this because we're out of time. Suicide is a powerful sin. It's a powerful sin. It's a terrible sin. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, which is a reference to Satan, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is your life ripped off? Is your life messed up? Do you want to kill yourself? Guess who's talking to you? The thief. And he's waiting. His jaws are open. His mouth is open wide to receive you. He gathers his minions about, forces you into isolation, whispers things in your mind, causes things to bring you to the brink of, there's no hope for me. It's over for me. And then swallows you up. I suggest you call out to Jesus Christ tonight and give your heart to Christ. It is the ultimate rebellion that a human can commit. When a person dies, a non-believer dies in suicide without Christ, it's bad enough for a Christian to disobey God and usurp that authority over God upon his own life. But when a non-Christian does that, it is dying in what is known as the unpardonable sin. The suicide is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is dying in this life without having accepted Christ Jesus. That's the unpardonable sin. And by doing so, you would be committing self-murder. And it doesn't fix one thing. You go from a messed up world into hell. And God says, I weep over the death of the wicked. It doesn't have to end that way with you. And then five, how do we counter this powerful lie with the truth? Romans 8:38. Are you depressed? Are you bummed? Paul says in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing, that includes Paul, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How's that? That's a pretty amazing verse. Paul says, I can't think of anything that can separate us from the love of God. James 4:7-8. Therefore, number one, submit to God. Number two, resist the devil and flee from him. Three, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Four, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Repent. Five, purify your hearts. You double-minded, is your mind flipping and flopping and going crazy and all this stuff? And man, I don't know. Listen, submit to God. Almost done. I'm going to give you the best for the last. Here it comes. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments, this is all in your head. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And here it is. You ready? You guys, let's stand for this one. That's how ready we are. Let's stand. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4. This is your prescription for tonight. Here's our prescription. Rejoice in the Lord always. By the way, that's a commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Here it is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's an attitude that you culture. That's an attitude that you, well, can I buy it? No. You have to nurse this into reality. Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, mind, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true. So stay off the internet as much as possible. Whatever things are noble. Turn off most of the garbage that's on TV. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of a good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praisworthy, meditate on these things. You know what's amazing about that? If you just practice Philippians 4, 4 through 8, I believe this. Much of your emotional instability and fear will begin to lift. I'm not going to point to a couple of men who are here tonight. I saw them during the message. But it's not uncommon for me to meet very early in the morning, anywhere from 5 to 7 a.m. with men. I will not meet with women. I'll meet with men. We'll meet at Starbucks. We'll be sitting out there freezing, waiting for them to open up. And this is almost predictable. I will tell them when they say, man, I'm just really depressed. I feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. And I'll tell them this. Start getting up early. Read the Bible if you need to out loud. Or get an audio Bible and put your headphones on and listen to it. Let it flood you. Start calling out to God. Do it for 30 days. And let's talk again. Every man I have spoken to for 20 years has every time without exception come back to me and they said, it's great. I'm doing great now. My problems, I still have them, but they're not killing me anymore. I've got them. It's victory. You guys, listen. Guys, when I say guys, I mean guys and gals. Guys and guyettes. Do this. And watch what happens. Father, I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Dear God in heaven, this is such a painful topic and issue, but it's unnecessary. People are coming to the end of themselves and they'll either come to the end of a rope or they'll come to the foot of the cross. And even for the Christian tonight, there's that pressure and that tension. There are wives who have been abandoned by their husbands. There are husbands who have been abandoned by their wives. There are financial issues, there's danger. And yet, Lord God, your promises are true. And in the darkest hours and the most difficult situations, you're more powerful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Suicide? A study on what the Bible has to say about the sensitive and profoundly painful subject of suicide. Today's lesson was just one in a series titled The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. If you missed any part of it, you can always go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and grab any episode you might have missed. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, before I let you go, I want to remind you that you can get a hold of the MP3s and the video for the Engage California conference. It happened here at Chino Hills just recently, and boy, the list of speakers is just amazing. Dennis Prager is on the list, Frank Gaffney, Shannon Grove, the Honorable Bob McEwen, John Stonestreet, Donald Dix, Karen England, and of course, our very own Pastor Jack. If you'd like to get a hold of the USB with the MP3 and MP4s, it's available for you for a gift of any amount. All you got to do is go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and there you'll get all the details. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.